We are all over the place here this morning in my Christmas message. We're in John. We've been in the book of John, and we'll be looking in Matthew at the birth of Jesus, and we'll also look in Isaiah. So get ready to jump around your Bible a little bit. But we're here. We're celebrating Christmas 2019. 2019's only got a couple weeks left here. But we have found ourselves in John 19, where Jesus is on trial for his very life. Pilate, the Roman judge of Jesus, has declared that he finds no fault in Jesus whatsoever. But having said this, Pilate then has Jesus beaten with the flagellum, sort of a cat of nine tails, that would actually tear the flesh open from the very first lash, and they give Jesus 39 lashes. The back of Jesus would actually resemble hamburger, raw flesh. And these Roman beatings of a prisoner would sometimes kill the prisoner. But Pilate, he is a battle-hardened Roman soldier. And to beat an innocent man, well, that was no big deal for him, especially if this man is a Jew, not a Roman. And Pilate has declared Jesus innocent, but yet he has him beaten. And we looked last week at the beating of Jesus, and it had a purpose. Isaiah writes and Peter writes how the stripes that were laid upon Jesus were for our physical healing. But the innocence of Jesus is critical, for Jesus will go on, suffer the cross, die as a lamb slain, a sacrifice for our sins, and it was critical for Jesus to be that perfect lamb. No defects, no blemishes whatsoever, and to know that Jesus was the only sinless man ever. He was without flaw. Not only no sins, but without a singular sin being accused of him. Now, you got to think. It's easy to sin. We can sin by omission. We can sin on purpose. We can sin in all types of ways. But Jesus never committed a sin. Now, that's completely impossible unless Jesus is who he claims to be. The Son of God, the King, as Pilate called him, of the Jews. And in chapter 18, verse 37 of John, Pilate is asked, are you a king? And Jesus says, you say rightly that I am a king. And for this cause I was born. And he gives his cause. And I've come into the world that I should bear witness of truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. But here we are. Jesus about to die on the cross. He's probably 33 years old. And he's told Pilate and he's told the Jewish leaders, and he tells the entire world the truth about himself. I was born. I come into the world to bear witness of the truth. It was a plan of God to have Jesus born into the lowest of circumstance, born into abject poverty. And it's good for us to know to experience truth, you can then speak of truth. But have you ever considered the personal day-to-day life of Jesus? We looked at Isaiah 53 last week, and we read a description by Isaiah the prophet about Jesus. So let's read that again, and let Isaiah's words penetrate into our heart, into our mind. Isaiah 53, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity or sins of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his land, in his hand, rather. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors." Isaiah, of course, prophesying probably around 500 to 600 years before Christ came on the scene. But he says Jesus was not a man of beauty, that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. Now, we all want to be loved. We all desire to be respected. Yet it says Jesus was despised. Now, there are some today who claim Jesus married Mary of Magdalene, and that's absolutely untrue. That's all I can say about that. It is not a fact. Jesus did not have the comfort of a spouse when he was here on earth. When sorrow and grief come, and it comes to all of us, a husband or a wife is a comfort. Jesus only had his disciples who were more concerned about their own greatness or position in life than they were about his kingdom. It was a constant argument among the disciples who would be the greatest. Isaiah tells us that Jesus was smitten by God the Father and afflicted. Wounded for our sins, bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah continues, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Jesus bore stripes from his scourging for our healing. And mankind had a response. And it says, we all like sheep went astray. We turned away from him. We sort of deserted the Lord, just like Peter denied the Lord and deserted him. The lifestyle of Jesus, though, a man of sorrows, was ordained by God the Father for Jesus. Jesus was to be stricken for the transgressions of us, God's chosen people. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Verse 12, there in Isaiah, tells us Jesus poured out his soul unto death. So the life that Jesus lived was a sorrowful life. And yet we can become depressed. We can lack motivation to even get up and face another day. So ask yourself, what causes me to get up out of bed in the morning and go and live another day? Jesus knew what faced him. He knew early on, even as a young lad, what awaited him. You remember when he was in the temple and Mary and Joseph go on home, then they realize Jesus is not with them. They go back and they find Jesus. And Jesus says to him, I must be about my Father's business. So even as a young lad, he realized what life held for him. But let's go back even further than Jesus coming and being born among us, and how Jesus was one with the Father before he came and took on flesh. Before that first Christmas in Bethlehem, Jesus existed with the Father. And how God chose a humble, poor entrance for Jesus to enter into this world. And so, we've been looking at John. And Jesus is on trial before Pilate. Verse 37 of chapter 18 of John. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly I am a king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Jesus has openly confessed to Pilate that he is a king. And he says, you say rightly I am a king. But I've come into the world for a reason, for a cause, that I should bear witness to the truth. So, turn with me to Matthew's gospel, and we'll look at what Matthew has to say about the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. And 1 through 17 talks about the genealogy of Jesus and how from Abraham to Joseph. Now, Joseph was not Jesus' true father, but he was the man that was to raise Jesus. So Matthew even takes us back to Jesus' you might say, stepfather. But let's read verses 18 through 25, and it tells of the birth of Jesus. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Mary is found to be pregnant. Obviously, she's starting to show, and she's pregnant in and by the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph, it says he's a righteous man. He loves Mary. But the shame of all this, he knows he's not the father. And he's looking for a way to put Mary away secretly. He doesn't want to shame her. He wants to just put her away secretly. And God gives Joseph a dream from God. And in this dream, an angel tells Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as a wife. Mary, her child, is of the Holy Spirit. This is good news to Joseph. He loves Mary. This message from an angel, it's a comforting message. For now he can take Mary, whom he loves, to be his wife. And he will gladly take her, according to the angel's declaration to him. And it says he doesn't know Mary sexually until after the birth of Jesus. Joseph is described as a just man. The Lord chose carefully who would be the stepfather of Jesus. Joseph is willing to suffer a reputation disgrace. For who's going to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Later on, the Jewish leaders taunt Jesus by saying, you know, we were not born out of fornication, indicating that Jesus was probably, in their minds, born out of fornication. But let's read two more verses in Matthew chapter 2, 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. We have wise men from the east, not necessarily three wise men, but wise men from the east, simply saying wise men, and they have a question. Where is he who was born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Now, isn't it sort of ironic that Jesus is now on trial before Pilate, and the accusation against Jesus is he is a king of the Jews? Pilate even puts a sign on the cross above Jesus saying, Jesus, King of the Jews. And wise men from the east, now they come and they're seeking to worship this newborn king of the Jews. Jesus comes into the world as a king that wise men are seeking to worship. While Jesus is on trial for his life, upon his cross it's written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title, given by Pilate, it offends the Jewish leaders, the chief priests and so forth. And they want Pilate to change what he wrote. They want Pilate to write, "He said he was king of the Jews." Pilate declares, "What I have written, I have written." So the Jewish leaders, they do not accept Jesus as king. The Roman soldiers taunt Jesus as a king. Crown of thorns, purple robe, that whole thing. And Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "You said rightly, I am a king." So you come down to this. Here we are, Christmas 2019. What do we as believers say of King Jesus? Do we accept Jesus' word, "I came to bear witness of the truth"? Well, if you're born again Christian, you have accepted the words of Jesus. You have demonstrated the belief of the truth. But I want us this morning to consider how blessed we are for the simple truth of Jesus. The whole world looks for truth. Pilate, what is truth? Here's a Roman judge trying Jesus, the only sinless one, and he says to Jesus, "What is truth?" We have the truth. We celebrate Christmas in truth. Jesus born a king, Jesus died a king. And he died for you and me that we would have the truth. What a glorious Savior we have. So, here we are in our Christmas season 2019. Find somebody to declare that truth to. Christmas isn't about exchanging gifts, even though we do that. It's not about decorations. Christmas is about the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let me get you